This is Packer and Durham on ACCN and Sirius XM Channel 371.
Roddy Jones here in a minute. And then before we're done, how about an excerpt of a new three-day weekend? Jess Roy's back.
She's in Coral Gables.
Coral Gables doing it big in South Florida.
I said yesterday, when you watch that show, if you have some questions or she doesn't cover it all, just give me a call.
Just call back.
I got it covered.
I got you covered.
And I'll fill in wherever.
She's going to Joe's. Got to go to Joe's,
I don't
right?
know where she goes.
Three-day weekend, man. You ought to go to Joe's.
Well, if you can afford it in the budget, might be one of the reasons we don't have hats or T-shirts, because she's down there eating stone crabs.
All right. Roddy Jones joins us, kids, from Metro Atlanta to start the 9 o'clock hour. Where do you want to start here with Roddy? You got a lot of things. You want to start with the targeting inconsistencies?
No, because if we start with targeting, we won't get to any other topic.
All right.
I don't want to start with that.
I've offered him that, or now I want you to explain to him. I will ask you to start here, though.
Say let's not start with targeting?
We're not going to start with targeting.
Okay, good.
I'm passing on targeting. Roddy, in the
quarterback sneaks. That's where Pack wants to start. Quarterback sneaks. Pack, I'm not sure if you watched our game, but we had an ode to quarterback sneaks during that game because both Northwestern and Duke, quarterback snuck. I guess that's the past tense of quarterback sneak. Quarterback sneaked. Both of them did it, and we paused mid-game. I was like, Wes, we need to take a minute and just show the good people what the value of a quarterback sneak can be. So I know that's where you wanted to start, Pack. I just wanted to let you know that big quarterback sneak fans on the Durham Jones Harris crew.
You know, that Clemson Georgia Tech thing, Roddy, I swear, and Dabo said after the game, it may be one of the weirdest games he's ever been a part of. That was unbelievable. And like I said, I've never coached a day in my life, but I'm sitting there channel surfing like crazy on Saturday, got all kinds of stuff going on. And as long as that game lasted like 6 hours,
yeah, it
never would end.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
And then you're like, all right, Clemson makes a defensive stand. They're going to win the game. And they got the ball at the 1 foot line or whatever it was. And when they went in the shotgun, I'm sitting on the couch going, what are they doing? I mean, this is not the Monday morning quarterback thing either. It was one of those things you're going, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You got a 300 pound center, you got a 250 pound quarterback. Yeah. You just need to go hut, hand,
right.
knee. Hand the ball to the official and say, thank God we got out of here with a win.
That's it.
And they're back there snapping it, and they talked about quarterback exchange. That's been a problem all fall camp. And then they hand it off. You're thinking, what are they doing?
Okay.
And then there's a fumble, apparently.
So we're missing quarterback state.
Hand it off to the true freshman when you have the 250-pound. I'm with you, Pack. Like,
I mean, no sense.
I said it with Wes. When somebody, I can't remember if it was Duke or Northwestern, was backed up. Wes goes, what do you like here? I go, quarterback sneak. That's what I like. That's all I like. Quarterback sneak. Sneak the ball. Get a push. Let your quarterback fall forward. And then you got some breathing room. And the other part, like if you're going to be in shotgun, again, not Monday morning quarterback thing. If you're going to be in shotgun, just have DJ keep the ball. Run DJ. And that's the thing that Clemson hasn't done a lot of this year. And given this may be recency bias, this may be not remembering it correctly, but Clemson doesn't really run their quarterbacks early in the season. You can go back to Deshaun, you can go back to Trevor. Like, there's not a lot of quarterback runs in the game plan in September and into October. Then you get into November and especially December, and it's heavy quarterback run. But in that situation, like, quarterback sneak, run the football. Let's go. Come on.
All right. I want to go on that parallel to this. Speaking of running the ball, Justin Fuentes already had his expose about red zone, okay, and goal-to-go situations at Morgantown. But I was talking to Pack earlier. You've got a little bit of a working theory on Pittsburgh and Boston College and how much we should buy into their inability to run the ball. I mean, Patrick Garwo's a little bit of a surprise. But are they running it good enough at Boston College? Are they running it good enough at Pittsburgh, Roddy?
No, is the answer to both of those questions. And look, Boston College's rush numbers look fine. I think they're fourth in the ACC in rushing. Pat Garwo is up there. But he had 100 and something yards against UMass, which I'm not saying you discount those yardage, that yardage. We had UMass, great people. But let's just say they're struggling on the football field. I think I called them a bye week in the preseason. I'm not going to say that now. Now it's more of a controlled scrimmage. So you have to sort of take that with a grain of salt and then look at what they've done on a down and down out basis in the other games. I don't think they ran it well enough against Temple. And with Dennis Grossell in, you're going to have to run the football. He can sling it. Like, he's kind of got that gunslinger mentality. We saw him last year throw the ball to the other team some, which is going to come with it. Doesn't quite have the arm strength of Phil Jurkovec, which limits what they're able to do with Zay Flowers and those deep shots. So you're going to have to be able to run the football. And no fault of their own, their schedule has not been great early in the season. I mean, it's been kind of a who's who of just roll it out there and get some wins. But this is going to be a big test against Missouri. And then you flip over to Pitt, and just there's been such frustration and inconsistency with their run game really over the past, what, three seasons since Mark Whipple took over as offensive coordinator, and they still haven't figured it out. Vincent Davis looks like he's their best back. We heard so much about Israel Abanikanda and saw him in the spring, and he hasn't had that same impact in the fall yet. So I'm going to need to see both of those teams run the ball better. Kenny Pickett is certainly good enough to put the game on his shoulders, but Dennis Grossell is going to need some help. So I think both of those teams need to run the ball better, even though Boston College's rush numbers are a little deceiving at this point.
Roddy, if you were going to do a mini accounting, who would you have 1, 2, and 3 right now in the ACC? 1, 2, 3.
Clemson, North Carolina, and Wake Forest would be my 1, 2, 3.
All right. Clemson, North Carolina, Wake Forest. All right, fair enough. Just curious.
Yeah, and then after that, there's sort of a jumble to me. I think Virginia's in that mix. Virginia Tech is in that mix. Pitt's in that mix. And when you look at those teams, I think the way you kind of separate it is Virginia Tech's win over North Carolina, was certainly a win, and it was a good win. But kind of the way we talked about Boston College, like, it was a little bit of a deceiving win. North Carolina really controlled that game in the second half. And if it weren't for the interceptions, they have a very good chance to win it. North Carolina outgained Virginia Tech. And yes, Virginia Tech was able to win that football game. You do not take that away from them. It was a raucous environment on a Friday night in Blacksburg, the first time that place had been packed in forever. So is that scalable? Are you going to be able to recreate that environment and that performance? Now, they don't need to because they don't play North Carolina again. But I think there was a little bit of the first game of the year sort of bump for Virginia Tech. When it comes to Louisville, I think it was a good win against UCF. It was a weird kind of sloppy game. I don't think it was especially well played on either side as evidenced by the last couple of plays of the game. But you hung in long enough to get a win. I still have some questions about playmaking on the outside for Louisville. That they have not been able to recreate the 2-2 Atwell explosiveness. And then Pitt. I mean, golly, Pitt. You can't get into a shootout with Western Michigan. I don't care how well Caleb Ealy's playing. You can't do that. Tim Lester's a good coach, and that's a talented team. That's a team that has some talent. Let me just say that. But you can't get into a shootout where you got to score 50 points to beat Western Michigan. That can't happen.
All right, so you got the Swiss three. They go on the road to Charlottesville to take on the Hoos Friday night. Who do you like in that game?
I'm fired up about this game. I really am. And Virginia is so good at home that it's hard to go against the Virginia that Virginia team in Scott Stadium. I really like Wake Forest, though. I think this is a mature team. I think this is a team that is healthy on defense, or relatively healthy on defense, for the first time, and it seems like 3 years for Dave Clawson. They play hard on the defensive side of the football. They are competitive at every position on the field. Go and watch them. Their receivers compete their tails off. Their running backs compete their tails off. Sam Hartman is probably the most underrated quarterback in this league. So I think it's going to be a high-scoring affair. I like Wake Forest in the game, though. I think those receivers can give the DBs of Virginia some trouble, not quite in the same way that the North Carolina receivers gave Virginia trouble in the defensive backfield in terms of explosiveness. But I do think those Wake Forest receivers are good enough to give them some trouble. I think it's going to be a fascinating game with two quarterbacks who are really, really good, two offenses that are really explosive. But I like Wake Forest in that one.
Look at people getting behind the Swiss. Look at people lining up, huh?
I've been on the Wake Forest train all year. I mean, it's in the preseason. I was like, watch out for Wake Forest. You know, a lot of the talk was Clemson, NC State, and I think I voted Clemson, NC State 1 and 2 in the Atlantic, but Wake Forest was third for me. And I said, look, if Wake Forest shows us defensively that they are healthy and that they are going to and that they can, they have improved, then I think they can really make some noise. So I like what Wake Forest has started off with. I like the way that they've looked all over the field. They're a really good football team.
How you doing there?
I'm good.
All right.
I'm good with everything Roddy said. All right. I think I like Virginia, though, at home front.
Yeah. Well, I understand that.
Well, that's fair. Look, Virginia's really good. Really good at home. So it's hard to go against them. Hard to go against them in Charlottesville. I'm with you there, Pac.
All right. Clemson, NC State. Tigers are only 68% favorite by Packers boys down at FPI. So tell me how NC State wins this game.
Keep it ugly. I mean, if they can – look, Georgia Tech just played a game against Clemson where Clemson scored 14 points. If Georgia Tech can do that, and that's no offense to Georgia Tech, but NC State certainly should be able to limit this Clemson offense to some extent. So if you can keep it in the 20s, that actually, with that Clemson defense, it might be too much. But if you keep it in the teens, you certainly have an opportunity. And in the 20s, you never know. Like, I think this is an NC State offense that is certainly better than Georgia Tech has been. Maybe they can score a touchdown. we'll see if Clemson's going to allow a touchdown all season. But if you make it ugly and make it sort of like a game that we saw, or keep it in a similar feel to the game we saw between Louisville and UCF, like keep it in that one possession realm, whether it's 14-7, 10-3, you can keep it low score and keep it ugly, then all you need is a ball to end up on the ground that you return for a touchdown and you got a shot to win the game. So keep it ugly, limit the possessions, which Georgia Tech did a good job of. Clemson also helped Georgia Tech do a good job of that by being pretty good on third downs in that game and limiting the possessions by holding the football. They just stalled over and over and over. So you can get in that realm. DJ has missed too many throws, like more throws than we've seen from a Clemson quarterback in years. And then the other part of it is Georgia Tech showed them some stuff that I think had DJ a little hesitant to pull the trigger, a little hesitant with what he was seeing. So if you can mix up the looks on them, if you can make it an ugly game, then I think you got a shot.
Yeah, I agree with that. Here's the other thing that I think comes into play here. Clemson's put it on the ground 11 times. That ball has been grass. And let me tell you now, as great as that defense is, and they are great defensively, at some point in time, you know what? The offense has to do something. You've been a part of teams one way or the other that, hey, we'll carry you for a while, but eventually it's a team game. The other teams, hey, the offense has got to score some points at some point in time. It can't just be a heavy on the D. Man, you got to hold them under 7. You got to hold them under 10. At some point in time, the offense has to step up. But you put the ball on the ground, on the road, hostile environment, NC State circled the calendar. I'm telling you, this could be an absolute fistfight on Saturday afternoon.
And you're right about putting it on the ground, Pac. And those fumbles are – there's so much luck involved with them, because if the ball bounces – if you fumble the ball, like, right near the tackle, ball bounces back towards the center, back inside, and that's a recovery for the defense. You're playing defense going forward. That ball bounces the other way, and that's a scoop and score for the defense, and Brian Brzee and James Skalski never had a chance to keep him out of the end zone, right. which has happened twice this year with the safety and the pick six. So when you talk about those, you are really playing with fire, and you're exactly right. I've been on teams, Wes knows, that team in 2008, early in that season, that defense carried us, and then we kind of had a complete team. Every other year of my career, it was the complete opposite. Yeah. Well, we were in shootouts every single game, and the defense just had to come up with one stop, but you got to get that stop. And Clemson's kind of in that mold where the defense is probably looking like, you get us a couple touchdowns and we can do the rest, but you got to get us a couple touchdowns. Like, we can't do it all.
Yeah, and going back to that Georgia Tech game, we talked about the fumble in the end zone on the lack of a quarterback sneak, but when DJ fumbled, when they were going in to score, and he fumbled. Georgia Tech had the scoop and score. It was going 80 yards this way. Yep. The ball went right to the dude's hands. They ended up getting the football. But, man, that could have gone 7 this way. And then all of a sudden, that is a completely different game in the fourth quarter, where now all the pressure would have been on Clemson offensively. Hey, guys, you're behind. Now you got to go figure out a way to win the game.
And Roddy, it leads me to this. As much as we're talking about Clemson, NC State this week, because Pac said it at the top, we're one game from the Atlantic going coastal on us, okay? I mean, the Atlantic going chaotic, right? Okay. We are not there, though, but we could be. Georgia Tech takes that game plan, that blueprint from Saturday at Clemson, and they reset that Saturday night on ACC Network primetime against Carolina. Carolina has that win against Virginia, the one they've been looking for. How many times have we seen this before? Carolina gets the win and the next game, right? Okay. GC5 may have a plan here. You play the same way you played against Clemson. Limit Sam Howell. Who knows? You may have a chance.
Yeah, you may. They're going to have to do something different, to be honest with you, because there's receivers open there, and they kind of put those DBs on an island. And look, the game plan that Georgia Tech rolled out against Clemson was something that they really haven't done consistently until this season. It was sort of a 3-3-5 look where they've got light boxes, Darren Clemson to run the football, and then that overhang player, that safety comes down on block, and you're able to stop him for a 5-yard gain. You're not limiting the big plays, and you're sort of starting – and you're making Clemson chip away because you don't think they can do it. Virginia tried that against North Carolina last week, and what happened was North Carolina was like, oh, you're going to dare us to run the ball? Well, here you go. I'm going to hand the ball off, and I'm going to run it with Sam Howell. And you had two guys over 100 yards, and they were still able to run by Virginia some with Josh Downs, with Choppery Brown, and then Josh Downs after the catch, because you get late guys coming down to play some of the short stuff that Josh Downs catches. That long touchdown run that he had, or catch and run that he had, was an example of that. So I'm not sure that game plan is you can duplicate that against North Carolina. They're more than happy to beat you however you would like to be beaten, whether it's running the football, whether it's throwing the football. So you're going to have to mix it up more than you did against Clemson last week, because DJ missed enough throws. If DJ comes out and he plays well against Georgia Tech, he's hitting his throws, they had some opportunities to push the ball down the field, then that's not a game. Sam Howell's not going to miss. Like, Sam Howell is playing at a level that we thought he was going to play at. He was a little sloppy in that first game. Since then, he's been really good, and he was excellent against North Carolina. So Georgia Tech's going to have their hands full, because North Carolina is really good at getting those receivers singled up. You're going to have to make more plays down the field than you did against Clemson a week ago.
Ronnie, I want to switch gears real quick. Miami did not tackle, have not tackled well this year. They're 1-2. Nobody down in South Florida expected that start, including Manny Diaz. Can you, as a member of a football team, can you become physical in midstream? Meaning, like, how do you get to be, all right, guys got the ball, bring them to the ground? I mean, isn't that a mindset that's kind of already established, or can that change during a year? Because Miami has got to do a better job tackling. They've been lousy in that department the first part of this year so far.
I'm not going to say it can't change over the course of a season. I just can't think of an example where it has changed over the course of a season. Usually, things like physicality, ability to tackle, those are things that change slowly by doing it. And there is a mentality involved with that. There is a sort of attitude involved in that. And changing that attitude in midseason, when you're really doing it once a week, you're only doing it on Saturdays in the games. You're not going tackling people in practice. You're not, having those super physical periods in practice during the season. So that attitude, that physicality, is something that needs to be ingrained in the offseason when you're doing that stuff. By the time you get to the season, you kind of roll it out there and you learn about your team then. You don't, it's really tough to change that, especially quickly over the course of a year. And look, they've got Central Connecticut State University, which I didn't even know played football.
Oh, I've been there.
If I, wasn't. Have you? I've never been there. I think I've driven by it once. I don't know. Who knows? I'm not sure how they found them on the schedule. Is there like an app where you're swiping right or left and then Central Connecticut State's a match? I don't know. Either way, they got Central Connecticut State to get right. And then you got Virginia on a Thursday night. So it needs to happen quickly, because Virginia is going to be physical with you. They may have some limitations in terms of athleticism at some places, but they are going to be physical and they're going to make you play in space. So I'm a little concerned about where Miami is physically. I'm also concerned about where Derek King is physically, because as much as Manny Diaz and that crew has told us, hey, he's healthy, he may be medically cleared, but that's different than like healthy, ready to go and back to where he was. He was limping around in that Michigan State game some. He's getting that shoulder checked out now. So I wouldn't be surprised if they sit him this week. I probably would. Like, take a break. Get your body right. We don't need you for Central Connecticut State. Let's get ready for Virginia. So I've got multiple concerns with Miami.
All right, I'm going to go Jake Garcia or Tyler Van Dyke Saturday against the mighty Blue Devils of Central Connecticut State.
Yeah.
Who Roddy just
Blue Devils, used. Wow. I
yeah, the Blue Devils. That. By the way, they play that. Their basketball games at Kaiser Hall. I've actually done a game from New Britain before.
I wouldn't brag about that.
Well, I'm just saying I have. also note, Roddy just went Tinder app on the Miami scheduling. Swipe it left or right.
How do you find Central Connecticut State? What other way? Like, is Blake James on the horn just going through the yellow pages? And he gets to the C's and he's like, Central Connecticut, Abilene Christian couldn't do it, so let's go to Central Connecticut State. how do you find them?
Well,
Benedictine was out, so let's go down to the C's.
When roast beef A&M's busy, you got to go to the next one. So that's what you do. Miami will get healthy, and then we get ready for Virginia.
Honestly, I'm surprised they didn't get UMass. Seems like everybody else has UMass on the schedule. I'm surprised they didn't get them.
See, you made a promise that after the summer you weren't going to go there on our guy Ryan Bamford, and you just went there again.
Hey, by the way, UMass doesn't need to play Miami because they're going to play Florida State, so they're going to have a Sunshine State appearance later on in the year.
There you go.
That's why.
All right, Roddy's got to go. Friends, if you miss Roddy Jones today, you can see him Thursday night with Matt Barry, ESPN's College Football. Who you got, Marshall and what?
App State. Marshall and App State. Should be a good one. Marshall coming off a bad loss.
Black Saturday for the old Mountaineers now. Come on.
They've had some great games.
Oh, Marshall and – oh, man, you need to get the Scott Satterfield video out from when Sat beat the Herd one night on a quarterback keeper. That's back
when I first told you I was doing this game, Wes, you named about 50 people you said I should get video of. Yeah. Scott Satterfield's the first name that you mentioned that I'll actually be able to remember. I didn't know who any of those other guys were. I really
Avery Hall, Gary Dandridge, Pac knows.
They've had some
There's some ballers up there. Michael Payton, Troy Brown.
You go to the history of App State Marshall now. They've had some humongous games.
The Charleston Missile, William King at linebacker for Jim Donnan and the Herd. They've had some players.
Yes,
now.
Sir.
Orlando Hatchett at running back. Come on now. All right. Thank you, Roddy. Be well. We'll see you Saturday. Yes, it is. Looking forward to that Thursday night. Then Roddy will be with me as part of our ACC football triple header pack. Three over the airs and one on the extra. Yes, sir. Look at there.
And both of you, neither one, have Virginia Tech in the top three in the ACC.
ACC football presented by Subway. Roddy, LaRisha, and I will be at Worsham Field at Lane Stadium. For the Hokies and those pesky Spiders of Richmond, coached by Russ Huseman. On the app, New Hampshire visits Pittsburgh. Bill Roth, Eddie Royal, Abby LaBar will be with you from Heinz Field. 4 o'clock, Cotter, Herzlick, Jalen Johnson, Kansas Duke. Be a heck of a basketball game, wouldn't it? And then at night in prime time, we're going downtown, Pack, to Mercedes-Benz Stadium, home of the Falcons. North Carolina visits Georgia Tech, ACC primetime football presented by Geico. As Sam Howell comes to the A. When we come back, biggest surprises, and we got some social media reaction already in too, to the surprises pack, not to my counting. We'll do all that and more next on Packer and Durham.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Packer and Durham on a beautiful Tuesday.
What, Chester?
Well, you slammed your hand on the desk and you woke up my man over there.
Oh, my gosh.
He's not happy with you.
Now I got
to. And you forced me to have to go up and get coffee.
Well, this was good, by the way. Thanks to Mrs. P.
No, thanks to me. Oh. I got nothing to do. Mrs. P's mad at you. I saw her upstairs. She goes, no, I wasn't going to go down there. He's got a Hokie seventh. I'm not taking care of him.
I'm going to need that hat, by the way, for the trip to Blacksburg.
No, you're not getting it.
All right. We started our show today talking about biggest surprises through 3 weeks of ACC play. Not necessarily all conference games, but there are three storylines that have developed through 3 weeks, and quite frankly, they're all surprises.
Right.
Individually.
That would make sense, given the segment.
Well, no, but what I'm saying is some are good surprises and some are bad surprises.
Well, I mean, yeah, they're not all necessarily Christmas morning.
Right. The one that came to light over the weekend, well, actually all three did. Let's start with Clemson on offense, right? Because
– whatever you want.
Tigers – Pack, it's almost like when you look at you go, really?
Well, like I said, we're so used to watching Clemson offensively go up and down the field at will. Like, okay, great. You want us to run this time, pass it? How would you like it? They've been doing this now for a long time. But right now, they're a clunker offensively. And they still got dudes. We know that. But can they figure it out? That's the question. But you look down the numbers, 114 in total offense, 105 in scoring offense. By the way, that's national numbers. I'm just kidding. There's only 130 playing big boy football. Clemson, 114 in total offense, 105 in scoring offense, 120. 120 out of 130 passing yards per completion. Unlike anything we've seen in the Dabo Swinney era. It's just not been working. Can they fix it? I think so. But I highly suggest you do it this week because NC State's waiting for you in Raleigh.
Collaborative effort offensively, certainly. Now Clemson needs to focus on that. Defensively, Miami's got to find that.
Yes, sir.
Because the Canes can't tackle.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, we've run this clip package. We've run like three or four different combinations of clips. Miami's missing 14% of their tackles. I mean, here's Alabama. You'll see a couple there. Okay? Here's Appalachian. Right there. Whoops. Here's Saturday, Michigan State.
Saturday was bad. I mean, we could have shown you 15 or 20 highlights of a guy in a white jersey getting a hand laid on him and just going like, excuse me, I'm going on to the next 10 yards.
And we have an expectation.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's Miami football, right?
Right.
And the expectations of the Canes is the fact that, hey, you go down there to play, you better be ready to roll. But they're now 1-2, the wins against Appalachian State. It was a good team, but I think all of us thought they would be better in this position than they are currently. And again, they'll win this week against Roast Beef A&M, but then here comes Virginia. And that is the first dive into conference play. And really, Miami's got to figure it out. I mean, you got to have the mentality that, hey, guess what? We're going to be a tough football team. Right now, they're not.
So one collective offense, one collective defense. Biggest surprise in the league, though, from an individual perspective, has got to be how big a star Brennan Armstrong has become through the first 3 weeks. In all honesty, it was Sam Howell, DJ Uiagalelei, Kenny Pickett, Sam Hartman, Malik Cunningham, and then Brennan Armstrong's back for Virginia. And when healthy, he was pretty good last year. Well, he's been more than pretty good. He's been flat-out dynamite for Bronco Mendenhall.
Yeah, the numbers don't lie. And if you watch that game on ACC Network presented by Geico, primetime. I mean, that was just an offensive explosion. You saw two quarterbacks that throw as good a ball as there is in college football. And Howell put on a show, and Brennan Armstrong's put on a show every single week. He
Tell
has been
truth.
Dynamic. And again, you don't hand out any awards after 3 weeks, and you don't put people in the college football playoff. But man, if you're a Hoos fan, you are thrilled to death that guess what? Five is my guy. And that'll be a good showdown on Friday night. Sam Hartman, Wake Forest, play smart football. Hartman's been terrific, and of course, Brennan Armstrong's been out of sight. So Friday night will be a good football game.
No question. Looking forward to watching it, too, over on ESPN2 at 7 o'clock. All right, you've had some social reaction or social media reaction to biggest surprises. Let's start with Big Mac 2129, who thinks the biggest surprise is, why isn't BC ranked yet? Undefeated, 3-0. I'd say it has to do with the opponent. You're going to get a chance Saturday to make your statement nationally.
Yeah, you beat an SEC team, and amazingly, guess what? It's crazy how that works in the AP poll.
Right.
You know, Virginia Tech loses as an underdog with a chance to win. They lose. They drop from 15 to can't find them.
Right.
Auburn goes on the road, loses an underdog, drops a spot. Again, that's what I tell you. Don't worry about the AP poll. The AP poll is completely irrelevant.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. I mean, if you got a chance to brag about it, go for it. Otherwise, don't let it spoil your day. I mean, it means zero. But BC beats Missouri, that could very well change.
All right. Golf guy who says
golf guy
that year after year, everyone sleeps on the Deacons, and yet we just keep on winning.
That's why you're the Swiss. Accept it. I mean, seriously, it's great. Nobody hates you. Everybody's happy when you win. You know, if the Deeks...
Sad when you lose.
When you lose, it's like, oh, poor Wake. You know what? They'll be all right. The Deeks are going to be next time. And that's why...
They beat your team.
Until they beat your team. And then you're like, doggone Wake Forest, they get us every year. Yeah, the Deeks are good, man. Well coached. Play smart.
Listen to you with the Swiss.
They're the Swiss.
How about the guy sending you the flag that won the Swiss flag the other day on social media?
Yeah. But, you know, I've got...
You've got this going because I had somebody stop me. Why does Packer always call him the Swiss? And I explained it, and they go, oh, that makes sense.
You know, I'm going to go find... when we did the Southern Fried Football Tour, and we'd bring in that 40-foot RV, and I'd have all the school flags up and on.
And stuff. You had the Swiss.
A guy made me a black and gold Swiss flag, and I flew it every week. And in fact, I'll go find it. It's over here in storage.
Good.
We got the ACC Network storage, and I got the Southern Fried Football storage.
Bring in some of those candid studio shots while you're there, too. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to bring in accounting after 3 weeks. Volatile market, that daggone accounting. Very volatile. You lose, you go down. You win, you go up. It's pretty simple over here at the aggressive NASDAQ side of the table. Back after this.
Packer and Durham. Here's Mark Packer and Wes Durham.
Packer and Durham.
Woo.
The boys are up. They're ready to roll.
Yeah, doing good.
Many thanks to Roddy Jones, who joined us earlier this hour. 844-SAY-ACCN. And, of course, you can send in your accounting, right?
Oh, yeah.
Fans
absolutely.
Can do it. Fans accounting
it's
tomorrow.
It's been good. We've already had some submit.
Yeah, I bet. It's a little tougher to do than you think.
Yeah.
You ready to roll?
Sure, let's go. Ready? Here it is for week number 4. 3 weeks are in. Here's what I got. Clemson still 1. Carolina's up 3-2. Wake's up 6-3. Virginia's down 1-4. State's up 3-5. BC, Virginia Tech. That's the first 7.
That Virginia Tech, right?
That's Virginia Tech at 7.
In Blacksburg.
The one in Blacksburg that lost at West Virginia. Louisville is 8. 9 is Pitt, 10 is Miami, Duke's up 2 to 11, Georgia Tech's up 2, Syracuse down 1, Florida State down 4.
Wow.
I'm telling you, I'm the volatile market. I'm the one, you win, you go up, you lose, you go down.
Man, Cuse put a 60 spot on and dropped
against
a spot.
You, me, the Lumberjacks, and 7 other innocent people wearing Albany jerseys.
Just asking a question. I didn't mean to be berated. Speaking of berate, you better prepare yourself for Blacksburg putting in the Hokies at the 7th spot.
And you know what? And now I've already, just so you know,
yeah,
I've already had a couple of people side with me.
Well, that's good. Tell your mother-in-law and everybody else we said hello. All right, here we go. Time for the Sweet 16. Number 1 is the Clemson defense.
Oh, boy.
I don't know if there is a number 1 team right now in this league.
But you know their defense is number 1.
But the Clemson defense is the best is the best group I've seen out of the whole conference.
Okay.
The Hokies stay at 2.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, underdog on the road, woulda, coulda, shoulda, inside the 10-yard line. I'm not going to punish you for it. North Carolina, 3 spot. Like what the Heels are doing.
Okay.
Can't put them in front of Virginia Tech because there's a thing called scoreboard.
Okay.
Here come the Swiss. Oh, those
up 5 now.
The Deeks up
the
5.
Sneaky Swiss.
They beat up on Florida State. But guess what, Virginia? Don't be mad. You know what? You had your chance against Carolina. You gave up 59 in a loss. You get a chance to hop right over the Swiss Friday night when you play them in Charlottesville.
Yeah.
I got BC, undefeated Boston College 6. The Djurkovic injury bothers me. But, hey, they are 3-0, and they get their opportunity against Missouri coming up this weekend. Pitt, man alive. That was the egg salad sandwich. You cannot lose at home to Western Michigan. You're going to fill it. You dropped a couple spots. NC State, you're at the 8th spot. Don't worry about that because this week is the deal.
Yeah, it is.
This is the week for NC State. If you're going to make a move in the top 2 or 3, this is the one you got to win. If you don't, then you're kind of where you're supposed to be.
Right.
Kind of how I look at it. Team of Mystery, they move up. Great win against UCF. Keep an eye on those guys. They got the Noles this weekend. Duke is up 4. By the way, Blue Devils 2-1. It's not a basketball game, but they get a chance to play football against Kansas, and that's a good thing. Syracuse moves up a spot because they scored 60-something against a team from Albany. Miami, I'm sorry, you're 12. Good grief. I will say it for the 100th time on this show. You've got to be better tackling. Have to. Georgia Tech, loved what you did Saturday. Great scheme. Played your lights out. I mean, listen, you had a chance. You got another chance this weekend against North Carolina. The Noles, you know where you need to be. You're 0-3. Worst start since 1976. You're in the 14th spot. And this week's two additional spots. Number 15, the Clemson quarterback sneak play from the 1 foot line. You, it, whatever that was, is 15th. And the Hokies, you're at the 16, the sweet 16 spot. Virginia Tech, first and goal playbook, 12 plays, 5 net yards, no points, you lose. So there you have it. That is this week's Sweet 16.
The Swiss.
Doing their thing. Clandestine.
Man's already said it on Twitter. That's what happens every year. Golf guy. Golf guy said it. What happens every year. Nobody talks about us.
That's why you are the Swiss.
Yeah.
It's just whoosh,
whoosh, yeah,
nice and quiet. Make no ripples. Just do about go about your business. Yeah. Win a bunch of games. Go to a bowl. Win another bowl game.
Right.
Life is good.
Yeah.
You know, you guys sleeping on us. We'll just take your W, and you guys can complain about it. We'll just catch you next year when we see you. Life is good. Winston's
we up. Kind of are two different markets, though, aren't we? We kind of know where we have the volatility over here. And
you're all over the place.
You have the Dow.
You
have the Dow.
I can't even help you.
That's
out.
Why I'm the different market. I'm more volatility.
I don't even know what you're doing over there. You can't put Virginia. There's not six teams better than Virginia Tech in this league. My opinion.
Should have won the game.
That's fine. But there's still not six teams better than Virginia
Tech. Maybe not this week.
That is this week's poll.
Well, maybe this week there are. Maybe not next week.
Oh, I see. Now it really makes sense.
It makes no sense. That's
no,
the whole way.
It makes zero sense.
We're having a good time.
Zero sense. Well, yeah. I hope those folks in Blacksburg.
They'll be very hospitable. I enjoy going to Blacksburg.
I love it too.
Yeah, it's going to be
fun. You know what? They're not the seventh best team.
You know, like I say, there'll be some people. And my favorite part of this drill, once again, I will say this for television. My favorite part of all of this for us is those of you that watch the show that see the fun we have with it and the back and forth we create and things like that and have a good time with when we do accounting every week. My favorite part of the week is when it goes out on social media later today or sometimes Friday afternoon at 2. When it goes out on social media, it becomes like a lightning strike.
I'll take your word for it because I don't waste time.
I know. But it's hilarious when it comes back on social media. So anyway, all right, take a break. When we come back,
why don't you put Virginia Tech 14th?
I'm not putting Virginia Tech 14th. They're not 14th.
Oh, okay. That's this week.
This week they're not 14th.
Okay. I'm just asking.
And you know what? I mean, they'll be richer. I'll say this.
If you enjoy it that much, put them 11th.
No. I'm talking about the way I look at the games. They're teams that won games that are not as good as Virginia Tech. The reason Virginia Tech went down, they chased it all day. They chased it all day. And at the end, couldn't cash it in. Nobody wanted to win more than me. I'm going. When we come back, a quick check and a look ahead to 3-day weekend. And John Shire, man.
What?
John Shire?
Hadn't lost a game yet.
And coached a game yet. Well, not officially, right?
Right.
Yeah. Still doing pretty good. Back after this.
The Packer and Durham Podcast. This is the Packer and Durham Podcast.
Hey, everybody. Jess Roy's back. Another season of 3-day weekend. She'll travel to all ACC college towns, letting you know where to go, where to eat, what to do, and some special hidden spots, too. Wednesday night. That's tomorrow. Coral Gables is next on the list. It's 7 Eastern right here on ACC Network and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. And this morning, a sneak peek.
Time to hit the beach. Okay, I have a confession to make. I can't surf. I'm a former competitive snowboarder, and today I'm conquering my nemesis, that is surfing. Wish me luck.
I always start my lessons on land so you can practice just what we're gonna do, get used to the motions.
Now I'm gonna show you first really quickly what it looks like. So you're paddling, and then you pop up.
You make it look so easy.
So I'm gonna break it down for you first. Chest up, swing your legs through, okay? Stay as low as possible.
Here we go.
Paddle.
Paddle, paddle, paddle.
Hands.
Hands.
Chest.
Chest.
Kick forward.
Good. It's not gonna go well.
Chest, pop. Okay, good.
This is gonna be so bad.
Back foot, good. Pop, good. Better. Good, stay low. You just did all the way up. Much better pop.
So just drag it and we're gonna walk over here.
Okay.
I don't think I conquered the nemesis. Am I gonna try it again someday? Sure. Tomorrow? No.
3-day weekend tomorrow night, right here on ACC Network. It's in the ocean, so I know you're not going.
Listen, I don't know Jess Roy. She seems like a really nice lady. But by the time she got to the beach and got on her surfboard and went 12 feet in the ocean,
yeah.
I would have been at the news cafe eating like a king and telling you about great food. That surfing,
no
you
chance.
Can have it.
No chance.
I mean, good for Jess.
Your work at the Turks and Caicos has been well documented.
Let me tell you now, I'd be at the news cafe with a dark pair of shades on, sitting in the front center and watching the world walk by.
That's it, right.
Cocktail in hand, great food.
Sure.
Doing the whole South Beach.
I'm sure that'll be part of it, too.
That's just me. But if you want to watch Jess surf, there you go.
All right.
So far.
Good news for Duke basketball. John Shire now. Tell you what old John's doing.
What's that?
Like Lefty, you say, get me some players.
Well, I mean, has there ever been a problem for Duke getting basketball players?
I'm just asking. Derek Dively, the number two men's basketball prospect, according to our friend Paul Biancardi, has committed to Duke. So there you go. Over Kentucky. By the way, Derek says, I like the whole idea of brotherhood, Duke basketball and Duke University. I believe next year's team has a chance to make a deep run in the NCAA tournament and maybe a national championship. After my playing career, a Duke degree is important to me. We look forward to seeing Derek Lively in the ACC.
Hey, let's just get to the NCAA tournament. How about that?
That'd be a good idea.
Just saying.
On this date, I know you got one.
I do.
On this date, 1963, Maryland wide receiver Darryl Hill became the ACC's first African-American athlete to play a game when Maryland faced NC State. And on Thursday of this week, the Atlantic Coast Conference is going to announce the inaugural Unite Award recipients.
Cool.
Wonderful move by the ACC to recognize those that broke color barrier across the Atlantic Coast Conference. Darryl Hill and Lee Corso, by the way, was involved in the recruiting and coaching of Darryl Hill.
How about that?
So there you have it.
Cool story.
The other anniversary?
Believe it or not, it's tied into the ACC today.
Yeah.
30 years ago today, and I hope Josh Macri is paying attention.
Oh, he is.
The voice of multiple victories.
That's right.
30 years ago today, the University of Florida played Syracuse at the Carrier Dome. And Syracuse beat the living daylights out of the Gators. Beat them like a drum. Why do I bring that up? Because that's the last time we saw the University of Florida leave the state to play a non-conference game. 30 years ago today. Is that hard to believe? Let that marinate a second. I mean, Cuse welcomed those boys with a nice tan and said, man, we're going to wear you out.
That's the last time?
30 years it's been since Florida. 30 years and counting since the Gators played a non-conference game outside the state of Florida. 30 years ago today.
You know, Georgia had quite a streak, and then they went to Arizona State, and since they've been to Boulder, Colorado, Notre Dame, places like that. 30 years was not the streak, though, I don't think, for the Dogs.
30 and counting. Let me emphasize that. I mean, that's – I got to tell you, you know, you need to play somebody. I mean, I know your league's great. You don't have to tell me. It's awesome. But that's an embarrassing stat. Not to mention what happened that day. That was a really good Florida team. Syracuse went
– early Spurrier, right? But still, like, Shane Matthews and
– blew him out. Won the SEC championship.
Right.
Got blown out the dome. Haven't been back since. Never left the state since. That's crazy. 30 years. Is that hard to believe?
The Fairweather 36,000 there that day. I bet that place jumped day. And by the way, being September, I bet it was nice and warm back in the day.
Yeah, that's nice and toasty.
Coach, let me tell you something. If it was anywhere near 70 degrees outside, it felt like you were in a plastic bubble in that place. Musburger did that game. He was burning up.
That is a crazy stat.
That is some kind of stat there. Thanks to Roddy Jones for the time. Thanks to everybody who's submitted reaction to your surprises through 3 weeks of the season. Don't forget the Packer and Durham program available in podcast form on your favorite podcast platform. You can download, listen to the show and your comings and goings.
I would actually like to meet somebody that does not have a podcast. We've reached the point. I don't have one.
We have one. It's just not. It's a version of this show. Yeah. But you also have a podcast on SiriusXM. That show is also, you can go back and listen to Off Campus every day.
You can?
Yes, sir. I've done it. I don't know why, but I did.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, you can. You can go back and listen to Off Campus.
No kidding.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
Some of your best interviews are in podcast form on SiriusXM. The more you know, Pac. I keep telling you every day.
You know, one of these days they'll send me an email.
Fan accounting is always welcomed. You can tag Mark and I. Some of you will tag us for other reasons, I think. Use the hashtag Packer and Durham as well. Tom Luganbill with his traditional Wednesday visit on this program tomorrow. We get ready for a nice weekend. Clemson, NC State, Louisville, Florida State, Carolina, Georgia Tech, Wake, Virginia on the docket, Coach.
Friday night to get started.
Yep. Thanks to Josh Macri, Drew Brooks, Chrissy Velez, Matt and Hank on the back row, and more.
And Miss Jean.
Hey, Miss Jean. Love you, Mom.
Tune into Packer and Durham weekday mornings from 7 to 10 Eastern for the best conversations about everything from the ACC. Find it on the ACC Network, SiriusXM Channel 371, and streaming on the ESPN app.